if you want to make your beer better, you can't be using paper logs and spreadsheets. Paper logs in a wet area is just a big no-no.
Worst. That's the worst.
Paper mache is not what we're in the business of.
I just trauma.
G'day, brewers. Welcome to the Quality Focus Pro Brewers podcast. My name is Hendo. I am a pro brewer coach at the Rockstar Brewer Academy. And today we're going to talk about a really interesting topic because before I became a brewer, I used to work in IT. In fact, most brewers used to be engineers back before they became brewers. And I wanted to get someone in who I consider to be an expert in the space of brewery data management. I'd like to welcome to the show Lindsay Gregg from The Fifth Ingredient. How are you going, Lindsay?
Hey, good, good. Thanks for having me. I was not an engineer before I was a brewer, Hendo. I was an actor.
That's the first for me.
I was not an engineer. I was very far from.
Wow. Okay. Okay. So eventually you did become a brewer.
Yes,
tell us a little bit about your brewing career history thus far.
Yeah, cool. So I started brewing in the U.S. I was living in New Orleans. So I was a failing actor. I lived really close to a brewery in New Orleans called Courtyard Brewery that was a nano brewery. I was managing a craft beer bar at the time as well. And unlucky set of circumstances happened where the assistant brewer got injured and they needed someone to step in. I lived two blocks away and I was like, I don't know anything about brewing. And the owner, Scott, was just like, you'll learn. It's not that hard. The first time he left me alone with a brew, I had to do a hop addition and I put the entire bag in.
Oh,
like the actual bag itself. Cause I was like,
oh, what? Off to a good start.
Yeah. So that was back in 2015. I started working at Nola Brewery in early 2016. I got a job to manage a craft beer bar for a summer. I moved to New Zealand in 2016. I fell in love with New Zealand, but I wanted to get back into brewing. So I moved to Australia because the beer industry had a lot more opportunities here. And I started working for Stomping Ground. I was there for 5 years. I ended up being a senior brewer cellar manager. And now I work for Beer 30, which is a brewery management software. And I've been with Beer 30 for about 2 years now, almost coming up on, awesome. Which is crazy.
Exactly. On that note, and I love what you do at Beer 30, but I'm just going to go full disclosure in this conversation today, is that one of the things that I do outside the Rockstar Brewer Academy is I'm a brand ambassador for Beer 30 for Australia. But I didn't want today to be like a sales chat and that sort of thing. I actually wanted to talk about beer and beer quality and how data and beer quality are so closely related. And one of the things that's really frequent thing that I find with brewers when they join the Rockstar Brewer Academy, and one of the modules that you go through is one called Build Brewery Intelligence, and it talks about how to use the data that you collect during beer production to make your beer better. But what happens is a lot of breweries rely on spreadsheets and whiteboards and paper logs in 2024 for managing their operation and managing their data and that sort of thing. What's some of the limitations that are inherent with going down that path?
I think one of the biggest limitations, and also I would do a disclaimer, I'm not sales for Beer30 either. I'm like technical support, and I've actually been diving a lot into our Google Analytics and data. So I've really become a super nerd about data. But I think one of the biggest limitations about spreadsheets is probably ego-based. A lot of people think they know how to use Excel or use Google Sheets to its fullest potential, or you hire a new team member that says, they're great at Excel, they're proficient at Excel, and then they go in and delete something and it can't be recovered. And you don't notice that it's deleted for ages down the road, you know, who knows how long, and then finally you're like, wait, something's a little bit off here. And no one's ever going to admit that they were the one that did the thing. But I think that that's honestly one of what I think is one of the biggest things with spreadsheets is limitations, because Excel and Google Sheets are massive, massive programs. And a lot of people, a lot of your day-to-day seller people who are entering information might not really know how to work it. A benefit of using a software, any software, is that takes off the accountability. It takes the accountability off it's accountability.
The lack of accountability.
Yeah. It's not your problem if data is going. Somebody else is taking care of that data for you and watching that data for you. And
who edited that data and all that
Sort of thing. And there's more efficient logs there. And it's also just easier to use. I mean, entering data, large amounts of data onto a spreadsheet to collect what you want to get, which would be ideally, you know, at bare minimum, we're getting a gravity, a pH, a timestamp, current temperature set, and then who's logging the data. But to do all of that, that's multiple entry points where you're hitting enter on one spreadsheet. That's not very nice. We're all used to using our phones now, and we're used to using apps. We're used to things being nice to enter. If you do not like an app's interface and you're trying to lose weight and you don't like using the app itself, or it's like difficult to log, you're probably not going to log. So using brewery management software makes it a lot easier, a lot more user-friendly to actually log the information that you need to get.
Yeah, absolutely. And then there's the time that goes into actually building out this bespoke spreadsheet. And I've seen some really bloody complicated ones where people have spent literally months engineering this really fancy
pride and joy
triggers. And it's just like, how much time did you put into this? And that's time you could have been spent making beer, you know?
Yeah, really. Yeah. And even now, like personally with some other things that I do and my other lives, it's so frustrating building a spreadsheet from scratch. Like, and it does take time to get it to do everything that you want it to do. It's a lot easier just to use an app to have all that data, to have that all logged, that's quick to search. I mean, I think, yeah, usability is so important. And like, people, we're just so protective over our spreadsheets. We're just so, we're so precious about them. I was just talking to someone over the weekend in Fremantle, and they were like, well, that brewery's still using the spreadsheet I built them 10 years ago. And it's like,
they get antiquated so easily, spreadsheets do as well, you know. So be very difficult. That's some of the challenges you face. Like, they take ages to put together. It's not easy to enter the data into a spreadsheet on a phone when you're on the floor in the brewery.
That's a big one.
There's no accountability, or very limited accountability, is like who entered what data. And then there's the whole, well, stuff changes and functionality needs to change. And doing that on a spreadsheet can be very, you know, problematic as well, because one little change on a spreadsheet and it breaks, and then
it breaks everything.
It breaks everything. Exactly. Yeah.
And then that person who has it now doesn't, because it's antiquated, because it came from five people ago, it's been passed down through generations. That one thing breaks. Somebody doesn't know how to go in and fix the one thing, because it's, I mean, I've inherited spreadsheets before where it's like, well, I hope nothing breaks, because I have no idea how to fix it. You know?
Yeah.
I think we are.
Well, that's the thing. The spreadsheet's got a whole bunch of functionality that's in one person's head, and that's really hard to transfer to another person when that person who created it leaves and goes somewhere else. That's kind of inevitable as well, and that sort of thing. So, okay. So let's say that you're a brewery who's using, just say, paper logs at the moment. Let's not even talk about spreadsheets for a second, right? Let's say you're in 2005 and you're using paper logs and stuff like that, but you're thinking about moving to some sort of an electronic system, and maybe you might be thinking about using a spreadsheet. Please don't. What sort of data should a brewer or a brewery think about collecting when they go down this path of collecting data, quality data, and, you know, inventory data and all that sort of stuff electronically? What's important? What are the initial sort of priorities?
You're going to want to know what that is. You're going to want to go ahead and know, like, what your averages are, et cetera, like where you expect certain brands to fall. You need to know your inventory, what you have on hand, ideally the values of like when you're onboarding a new brewery software, you're going to want to know the values, the inventory you have on hand, the values of what it is per the measurement that you use it in, all of your recipes, the ingredients and the measurements. Like it is a bunch of data loading and collecting. And if you are using paper brew sheets, that's going to be a bit of a lift, but in the end, it'll be so much better. Like you're going to have to track down those purchase orders and figure out what those costs are. You know, you're going to have to figure out all of these things. But then once you get it all input into a centralized system, then it's there and it's going to be so much easier because brewery softwares are handling your purchase orders, right? You're putting them through the software, you're receiving them in through the software. So it's not all of this manual adjustment to figure out what your COGS are. Like you just have to do that initial data collection.
Yeah. Well, that's probably a key thing is just if you're making beer in your brewery, just knowing how much it costs to actually make that beer. Here we are in 2024, there's breweries going under left, right, and center. And the ones that are not thriving are the ones that don't know their numbers, both in terms of quality and in terms of the finances and that sort of thing. Have you seen that? You see that quite a lot, don't you?
Yeah, 100%. And I think like you need to know what your numbers are for your materials. Are there cheaper materials out there that you can use and get the same results? Can you cut things down and get the same results? All of that's going to require like knowing what you're using, where it's going, what the lot costs are, how it's trending from here to then, how has it trended over the past year? Like costs have been different. You can't assume that your core pale ale that you made 6 months ago is going to cost the same now as it did 6 months ago, but you're not really going to know that unless you're tracking everything.
Back of the data, exactly. One of the things we actually did, I did an episode of this podcast with Adzi, and we talked about brew house efficiency, so actual extract from malt. And one of the things we do at the Rockstar Brewer Academy is get all the members to get their brew house efficiency as close as possible to 90%, which is doable, right?
Yeah.
And if you're not tracking that, then, and that's it's a huge difference because like, let's say you've got a 10 hec or a 10 barrel brew house, and you're going from 70% brew house efficiency to 90%, that's like 300 liters of wort, right? And if you think about what that's worth to sell over your bar, that's a lot of money. And if you're not tracking that, then gosh, how do you even know?
Yeah, and if you're not tracking that, but if you're also not tracking the brewers and their efficiencies, you know, you could have a brewer on team, on staff, that's like constantly getting way lower. You need to know that, right? Like maybe they just need a little bit more training. Maybe they need, you know, a little bit more handholding, but like you want to know who on your team is hitting the right targets and who isn't, who's getting the recoveries.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So what about like when you speak to brewery owners, which are really the people who hold the purse strings in the brewery and that sort of thing. And then also sometimes you get the odd head brewer as well, where it's the whole barnacles on the boat situation. Like they don't want to make a change in how they do things in the brewery because, quote, that's the way we've always done it. And it's like, what sort of conversations do you have to counter that?
I think patient ones. I mean, you do get in my role and in previous roles, not with Beer 30, but when things have to change, you're always going to run into a little bit of a fight, and there's a lot of stubbornness in the beer industry, I think.
Done that right.
But those are the breweries that don't improve or go anywhere. Because if you're not changing anything, if you're not being open-minded and moving forward with something, then you're never improving. You're just going to be stuck in your ways, and eventually, like you're going to see repercussions from that eventually down the road. And I think that like just reminding everybody that anytime you change a process or a procedure, it's just standard leadership. People need to know why you're changing it. And, you know, if it seems like a bit of a lift at first, everyone's going to get grumpy, especially those of us who like to be stuck in our ways. Like you tell me that I have to do these two extra things. Now I'm going to throw a hissy fit about it. But eventually, if I know the why, if I know why we're doing it, if I see the results, then okay, then it will make a difference down the road. I think leadership just really needs to be able to communicate the why and understand the why themselves and share the results.
One of the things that I love about data management in breweries is using that data for making the beer better. What's some of the ways that you've seen some marked difference in breweries that you've dealt with that have actually directly affected beer quality, whether it's at Stompo or another client you've dealt with in your travels?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just once you start, well, one, being able to look up batch history and see standard side-by-sides when a really good batch comes through, which hopefully you're recording your, you know, your sensory results and your final specs, and that's all being recorded, and you say, hey, that batch is really good. Let's go look through and see what was different about that batch. That batch is completely to spec. Now, what was different about this other batch that wasn't to spec? Hopefully you have all that data side-by-side, and you can start to pinpoint and eliminate variables in there and start to see like what really made the difference between our gold medal batch versus, you know, one that bronzed. Like what were the really, what were the steps that we took here? Where was the gravity different? And maybe we changed the temperature at a different time. You have to have all of that. And I think that like once you're able to take something that if you're entering beer awards and it's winning gold medals, and you're, and then you enter that same brand again and it doesn't win a gold medal. If you can take the data on those two batches and compare them side by side and see what really made the gold medal beer stand out, other than just blaming it to the judges' palates, et cetera. If you can actually like look at the data and say, hey, oh, I see. For some reason, this one, like this was a third generation pitch. This was a fresh pitch. Like where were the gravities different? Where was the pH different? Yep. Was it in a bigger tank? Like you just, you got to
look at all the variables. Yeah, exactly. I had a situation with back in the day when I used to do consulting and stuff like that, where had a client who was a Beer 30 customer who said, our flagship beer is turning out different from a sensory perspective every single batch. And so it took 2 minutes to go and look through fermentation and brew logs to see that the brewers on the brew deck during wort production weren't checking pHs in the kettle and the whirlpool and making the adjustments to get the wort pHs right, which means all the beer pHs were different. Mm-hmm. And that was basically causing all the variants. And it was a real easy fix. It was like basically, all right, so what we're going to do is you get to the whirlpool, you got to check the pH, and you're going to adjust it up or down. Problem solved.
Yeah,
just from a little bit of data analysis, and it wasn't difficult to do.
Yeah, and I think like, I mean, one, you can never make people enter data, right? Like, and that's always going to be the biggest problem with good data collection is you can't force people to enter their data. However, another good thing about brewery software, and I hope I at least know about Beer 30, is we do have like you can make fields required, so the brewer has to enter it before they can proceed to their next step. Like they have to log the raw material lots. They have to enter whatever specs you want them to enter. And I think that that's like a pretty crucial thing to have. I mean, you can never force anybody to do anything, but you can strongly encourage it.
Absolutely. You, when in the brewing industry in 2024 and the realism around it, And I touched on brew house efficiency before, but breweries, craft breweries in particular, smaller breweries are inherently inefficient in lots of different ways. Apart from raw materials inefficiencies, what's some of the other inefficiencies that you've come across and how do you identify and address them?
Yeah. I think a lot of inefficiencies are caused by a bit of an optimism versus a realism kind of outlook. Optimism is you just have everything in your head and things are, it's about generally this long to put a batch through. I think hours and staffing, you know, if you don't have data on how long does it actually take to clean your tanks, can that be reduced? How much staff do you actually need on? What are some tasks that you can layer up? I think staffing is a big one. Not having your materials really tied in, you know, like how much losses are you getting out of each tank? That's such a big one, right? And I think with craft breweries, you know, we're doing all these super hopped, heavy hopped beers that will lose a lot. You're going to lose a lot of.
You got to track what your losses are.
Yeah, you need to track where your losses are. And then you also need to look at that data and say, hey, can we reduce those losses a little bit? How can we reduce? You know, you can't, such a big inefficiency, and you can't.
If you're making those big hazy IPAs and you're losing a truckload of beer that you could sell at whatever it's worth to you per liter or per barrel, it's very easy to justify new investment, new capital investment in the brewery. So if you're making hazy IPAs and they're very expensive beers to make to start with, but then the losses are so huge on top of that as well. But they also sell for a really high price. And so if you can track how much you're losing because of these massively hopped beers, and you go, well, if I put in a centrifuge, I'm likely to get, you know, your cost benefit analysis. If I put in a centrifuge, I'm probably going to get 10% back. 10% is worth so much on the market. I'm going to get a return on investment in X. But if you don't track that,
you can't really do it. And I think people go ahead and do cost benefit analysis, and they do them based on what's in their head. Like, I have an idea. Yeah, it's about that.
Same goes for like packaging lines, right? And stuff breaks on packaging lines all the time. And the thing about packaging lines is that they operate really well, or brewers in general, but especially packaging lines operate really well on momentum, not speed. If you're start, stop, that's a shit packaging line, right? But if you're just going slow and steady and not stopping all day and just getting it done, then your losses are going to be less. If you've got a particular piece of equipment on your packaging line that repeatedly breaks, if you track the downtime on that piece of equipment, again, cost-benefit analysis, you go, well, this labeler is a piece of shit because it's gone down and it's cost me 90 minutes of time over an eight-hour shift. All of a sudden, it becomes easy to see the benefits because the data is real and that sort of thing.
And it's just there, and it's easy to log. Like, you just – who isn't doing that right now?
Yeah, exactly. One of the things that I say – for breweries who are using spreadsheets and whiteboards and paper logs and stuff like that, as I say that they have their data everywhere and nowhere.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is that, you know, you've got a whiteboard over in the corner that sort of says, you know, what's in the tank and all that sort of stuff. And then you've got this spreadsheet that does your inventory, and this spreadsheet that does your, you know, your fermentation logs, and then you've got a piece of paper for your brew day and your work production and stuff like that. That's quite challenging, you know what I mean? And so what happens when you want to go and do some reporting and you've got this data everywhere and nowhere?
Oh, look, I've been in a place with a lot of paper logs and folders and folders and folders, separated by style, separated by batch, boxed years in boxes. So if you needed to go and find something, you were sifting through and trying to find, and then you find that somebody had actually taken that paper log out and moved it somewhere else. And so it's just...
And not put it back,
and things aren't accumulated into one place.
Cobwebs?
What do you mean?
I mentioned, you just open this old filing box from batch logs from years ago, and it's like there's dust and cobwebs.
It's not fun. That's a thing, right? So you can collect as much data as you want, but unless you're actually turning it into actionable insights, then it's not. It's not going to get you anywhere. So you might have all of this data, but then to amalgamate it, to bring it into one central location, is a lot of a lift for someone. And then not having it all in one central location doesn't mean that you can get the insights that you need when you need them. Like, you can collect data all day long, and this is same on a spreadsheet. Like, great, glad you're collecting all this data, but if you're not actually looking at your data until something goes wrong and you have to look at it, then what's the point?
Exactly. Well, it's not just collecting the data. 100%. It's waste of potential, because the thing is, you got to look at it this way. If you're using paper logs, and I would even go as far as saying for a lot of spreadsheet-based data collection in the brewery, it's like, okay, cool. So you've got all these bits of paper and you want to do these, we're talking winning awards and batch comparison and that sort of thing before. But I think there's also a lot to be said about visualizing data, like bringing up a chart of gravities and pHs and temperatures and cell counts and viabilities, and overlaying multiple batches of the same brand on top of each other and going, huh, look at that, and just visualizing it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think with cost as well, like that's something I look at a lot now, and my data that I look at now is like user data and app and layering charts and stuff like that, but actually about like user things, which is super fun. But like costs, if you can't bring up all your costs side by side for a batch, you know, like that's such a massive area to start troubleshooting, is just to easily be like, oh, I want to see my cost per liter for my pale ale, this batch size, the past 15 batches, and like looking at that cost per liter, comparing it all side by side. And then if something's really out of spec there, if something doesn't match with anything else, you can even use that to troubleshoot like what happened there.
Have you ever onboarded a client where like they were using paper logs before and they thought they knew what their costs were, and then all of a sudden when they started putting stuff into Beer 30, and they're like, they're looking at the reports going, whoa, does that happen?
I mean, yeah.
I'm not asking you to name names or anything like that, but does it happen? Does it happen a lot? And what's the reaction that you get?
And I can't talk about like a lot of, you know, internal. And I think that's something that people don't really share with us, but I do know that like actually seeing individual lot costs instead of an assumed overall lot cost for a specific batch, actually knowing like, oh, there's some variances here, this is a bit more expensive than, you know, what we thought.
It's that scary. All right, so let's talk about scale. Right, if I'm going to go down the path of implementing a brewery management system, that sort of thing, do I need to be a really, really big brewery doing millions of liters per year?
Absolutely not.
What's some of the different, like, let's say starting out, what's your smallest client that you deal with?
So like tier ones are under 1,000 liters a year?
That's 100,000 liters.
Sorry.
100,000 liters a year.
100,000
liters a year.
100,000 liters a year is our like starting tier. So under 100,000 a year. So small.
Which is like 1,000 barrels, roughly, more or less, because freedom units for like, our American friends.
I don't understand barrels. I know. I can't. It's been one of the hardest adjustments in this job, is like trying to talk in barrels and pounds and ounces again. Why do we use ounces? That's so silly. That makes no sense. I can't. I don't know. Inches?
I'm blown away, Lindsay. Are you telling me that you're an American brewer and you're a metric brewer?
Yeah, 100%. It's so much easier. I think once your brain makes the switch, it can't go back.
Yeah.
The maths is too easy. The maths is way too easy to math.
And I know.
I was a musical theater major in college. I want to do as minimal maths as possible.
Let's go back to scale. No, much respect. I love it. So let's say you talk me through like when a brewery is in tier one, so sub 100,000 liters per year. I've got members of the Rockstar Brewer Academy community who are doing less than 20,000 liters per year or 200 barrels. As you start out, what's some of the basic problems that a brewery management system solves? And then talk me through, as you get bigger into the millions of liters or tens of thousands of hectoliters or barrels, what's that progression there?
Yeah, I mean, inventory management and understanding your costs is crucial for any brewery at any size, point blank. I think, you know, typically at smaller brewers, we're looking at a one-person operation. You know, there's they don't have a lot of staff. They don't have a lot of teams. You want to make data entry as easy as possible for them. So they need to be able to quickly log their data, and they need to be able to quickly log reports. Like, you need to be able to see things fast and not because you don't have time to put together a report because you're doing 5 million things in a small brewery, right?
Yes.
I don't, and wearing all the hats.
Yes.
Yeah, you're wearing all the hats, but as well, like, having all of that tied in and having all of that accessible, it's going to allow you more space to grow because you already know your baseline. I don't know how people, and there's a lot of people out there, and kudos to them, but they're just like emailing suppliers a purchase order, and then the purchase order comes in, but then they're not really, like, everything's just kind of somewhere in their emails. And like, I get email anxiety. I'm a net zero on my inbox kind of person, and I love to delete things out of my email. So I don't know how people are like, oh, all of my information is in my purchase orders somewhere, and, you know, it's been logged into my accounting software, but they don't actually have that on hand. So I think it's so much easier if like, oh, I need to look at what that cost me last year, or I need to look at what it cost me from this supplier, and you quickly just pull it up because you have an inventory report and it just says it. So yeah, did that answer the question? Did I go on?
Well, that's when you start out. So let's have a look at, say, if you're doing, say, a couple of 100,000 liters per year, heading up towards a million, what's some of the things that a brewery management, let's say, okay, right. So I know what my costs are. I'm doing all the basics with regards to tracking brews and ferments and all that sort of stuff. What's some of the next things that you solve from that point, around the 500,000 liter per year mark?
I mean, I do think it just applies to everyone, but, you know, you do have more, it comes back to, you have more team members probably logging data. So you're going to get more visibility into their workflows, more accountability, more tracking, but, you know, there's going to be ways that you can better show them, like, hey, we're doing this better. They'll have more visibility into things as well. You know, if they see that a batch isn't going right, they could probably look up the batch history of what it was last time. You know, like, that's something that's real crucial when you get to higher levels and having more members on your team, better team workflow management, having a centralized place to see your schedule. Like, if you're able to, and I mean, I've had whiteboards, I've done a weekly schedule and had to write it up in an Excel sheet and then print it out or translate it to a whiteboard for seller work. But like, if you're just able to, in one system, put in a purchase order, then just click over and write out your schedule for the next 2 weeks and know that your team all has access to it. They see it. It's coming up on their task list every day. Yes. Like that's
the raw materials are arriving on time. Are you not mashing in and go, oh shit, I don't have any SARS hops. And
yeah, you know, you see it. it's visibility into the entire operation.
And then other things, like, as breweries get bigger, their capabilities start to get bigger as well. Things like starting a sensory program, starting an in-house lab, you know, all that sort of stuff. And they all need data collected around them as well.
Yeah. And I mean, it's everything grows, but the core is, I think team management, data management, processes and procedures, having one central place for all of that is so important. Creating a data conscious culture, like, the proof will be in the pudding, but I really, like, I can't emphasize enough. And I think, like, the biggest struggles you see just across the board in all industries is when your team members don't know why they're collecting the data. And I think it's so crucial to train your team members, make sure everybody knows what that data means. Everybody knows how it marks improvements. And if you implement new softwares, new procedures, like, you got to understand new data that you're collecting, it is going to have like a bit of a growing pain. Like, it's going to take a minute because this is how we, like, changing from spreadsheets.
Yes, it's a stretch, but it's a good reason.
Ripping spreadsheets out of people's hands is hard. I've ripped paper brew logs out of brewers' hands, and it was a struggle. But like, down the road, everybody adjusts, and then they don't even miss the brew logs anymore. Because
paper logs in a wet area is just a big no-no.
Worst. That's the worst.
Just boards, paper mache is not what we're in the business of.
I just trauma. But yeah, I think like communicating to your team, like team members really, brewers want to know that the data that they're collecting has meaning and that it's being used, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Lindsay, well, thanks heaps for today. That was a good chat. I really appreciate your time. Can I mention your Instagram?
Sure.
So that people can follow. It's Talk Beardy to Me. I'll stick it in the show notes and that sort of thing. And you're pretty active on there. There's some great reaction stories and all that sort of thing.
It's a lot of my cats.
Quality content. So if you're on Instagram, definitely go check it out. And if you are thinking of going down the path of implementing a brewery management system, I will leave a link to Beer 30 down in the show notes and that sort of thing. And reach out, say hi, book a demo. I don't know, do that, whatever. And away you go. Awesome. Lindsay, thanks heaps for the day.
And thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's good. And we'll catch you guys in the next episode.
Thanks, Hendo.